Hey, it has been said about a month. It's been only a month since the Israeli people left Egypt as an exodus. They started murmuring when they came to the Red Sea because the sea is blocking their path. Now, when they crossed the sea and God destroyed all the Egyptian armies, they sang a song, the song known as Song of Moses, also known as Song of Redemption. After they crossed the Red Sea and they journeyed 3 days and they ran out of water, so they started to sing another song called Wilderness Blues. They are whining, moping, and griping, and complaining, all the other things. And you're thinking, how can these people have a complaint against God? Well, I don't think we are a whole lot different than them. When the first bad thing happened in our lives, well, what do? We gripe and moan and complain. So we are thinking this. Listen carefully. We tend to gripe about the things that we don't have quickly than the things we have. Instead of being grateful to the Lord, we are griping against God. We are going to meet this group of 2 million people who complains to God for just about everything. They are inconvenience and the discomfort. Ultimately, they are complaining to God and they are distrusting God. So let's learn from these people's shortcoming that we may not do the same thing. We will start at the verse 1. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you with a humble heart and asking you to forgive our complaint and moaning and griping against you. You are so gracious to us, so wonderful to us, but yet we complain a lot. We are asking you for forgiveness. We also pray for our troops around the world. We are asking your hand to be upon them and keep them safe. And you're willing to bring him back safe and sound. And we also pray for the safety of law enforcement and the firefighters around this community. We're asking you to guide them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This has nothing to do with the teaching, but, you know, time to time I watch this Nightline, Terry Moran. I should have called him Terry Moran, but this guy, I don't know if he's an enemy or he's a verbal terrorist. He always talked bad about our troops. Mark Twain said this, if you don't read the newspaper, you are uninformed. But if you read the newspaper, you are misinformed. It's because of those people. Verse 1, like I said, it has nothing to do with the teaching. And they journeyed from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pot of meat. Oh, whoop-de-doo. And when we add the bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It was a good thing that these people did not have a majority vote, you know, democracy against Moses and Aaron, because it would have been over for them. Here Israel had a selective memory about their past, about their Egypt. While they were in Egypt, they cried out to the Lord against the bondage of the slavery. They wanted to be set free. They cried out to the Lord, and God set them free, and now they have a little discomfort. They are already griping. In a way, many Christians are the same way. They've been saved out of the sin of alcohol, sin of drugs, sin of pornography, you name it. But somehow they still want to go back to those old life with some lame excuses. They said, well, I need it. No, you need Jesus. Do you want to stay in the old lifestyle or do you rather live in the holy lifestyle? Do you really miss that old life? Do I really miss that life? Probably our flesh says yes, but our inner spirit should say, we want what God wants. God has no intention to starve these people to death. God didn't bring these people out of Egypt so he can let the people die in the wilderness. God had a plan. Instead of trusting God, they were complaining. So verse 4, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from the heaven and for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quarter every day. Note the word, please. I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare that they bring in, what they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening that you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your complaint against the Lord, but what are you that you complain against us? Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you the meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaint which you make against him, and what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Note that word, please. Complaint is not against the people, but the complaints are against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaint. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaint of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying that at twilight you shall eat meat, in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. The blessing of the Lord from the heaven, that this the bread from heaven, comes with a responsibility to obedience. This responsibility would test the Israelites whether they are going to trust God or not in the time of difficulty, in the time when they have to become obedient to the Lord. It's not because God did not know, but God wants them to know if they are obedient or not. God knows all things. He doesn't have to test us to find out how we are going to respond. God knows, but he wants us to know about how we're going to respond. It's interesting to note that murmuring here, recognized by Moses, is not against them, but it's against God. Let me put it this way. Anytime we murmur concerning our situation in life, we are, in essence, murmuring against God because we committed our lives to him. And God is in control of our lives. So when we complain about our lives, folks, we are directly going against God. You follow me? Verse 13. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, and some of you hunters thinking, oh, quail hunting. This is not a quail hunting. This is a quail grabbing. In the morning, the dew lay all around the camp, and when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. The name manna, also known as what is it? And probably there were two guys standing. What is it? I don't know. What is it? I don't know. Let's call it what is it? Manna. So there is a manna. When the God's provision came, these people did not recognize what it was. Same thing for us. When God's provision comes to us, a lot of times we don't recognize it, that it's from God. Why? Because we often try to take the credit unto ourselves. Somehow we thought that we made it happen. We don't. All the good and perfect gift comes from heaven above, James says. Verse 16. This is the things which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by an omer, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. Children of Israel gathered manna each day, which reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:11. You know what it says? Give us this day, what? Our daily bread. Why God is telling us to give us this day our daily bread? Does it mean that God doesn't believe in retirement plan or the investment? Folks, if you can do it, by all means, go for it. A lot of us live paycheck to paycheck, so a lot of times we cannot swing it. However, if you can do it, good, do it. Now, listen carefully, please. If you depend on that investment, if you depend on the CD, stock and bonds, let me tell you this. A couple of Black Mondays in the New York Stock Exchange will make that stock certificate become nothing more than a pile of scrap paper. However, if you depend on God, even if you have, let's say you have a couple million dollars laying aside, and I don't know what you're going to do with that kind of money, but let's say you have that kind of money. If you depend on that couple of million dollars, they'll go rather quickly if God chooses to make it happen. However, if you depend on God, the God who created the entire universe, and his dwelling is precious stone and gold and silver, he will never run out of money. You can trust him. I can trust him. We don't like to be in the situation, in the position where we just have to wait upon the Lord day by day after day. That's what God wants us. That's exactly what God wants from us. Depends on him. Israelites clearly heard what to do. Gather every morning. On sixth day, you go out, gather twice more. Because seventh day, there won't be anything. However, they chose to leave something behind. That's a disobedience. What happened? Our disobedience stinks. Our disobedience bred something bad. When they were disobedient to the Lord, what happened? Did the manna left over? Did they have a lunch for it? No. Well, 100% protein and worms. And it stunk bad. Verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, and two omers for each one. All the rulers of a congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourself all that remain, and keep to be kept until morning. So they laid up until morning, as Moses commanded. It did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will and not find you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. On the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day together, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandment and my law? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore did he give you on sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like a white coriander seed, and the taste of it like a wafers made with honey. I think it tastes tastes good, huh? This bread from the heaven has two laws it required. Number one is, do not store overnight, as I said. And number two is, do not go out together on seventh day. What did they do? Did they keep it? No. When we're told not to do some certain things, what do? We want to do that thing so bad. And you're wondering, I don't do that. Let me do the testing. Let me ask you this. I want you to don't think about number five. Okay? Don't think about number five. What do you think about it now? Number five. Because we are rebellious people. We are born with a sinful nature. These people are obeying God because not by their free will. They're obeying because they realize God has upper hand. Despite of what God said, some went out looking for the bread, trying to fulfill their stomach, empty stomach. Folks, listen carefully. If you try to look for something to fulfill your desire, anything other than from Jesus Christ, you will be hungry, you won't be fulfilled. Your satisfaction will never be met. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and you probably try just about everything, you might try some weed, you might try some nose candy, you might try some crazy work amount, you may not be happy. And I guarantee you are not happy at all. You might even went through the marriages like changing underwear, several of them, and still you are not happy. Why? Because your heart is not in Jesus Christ. Nobody will fulfill your heart desire like Jesus. We continue. Let's go to the Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Numbers is the fourth book in the Old Testament. So a couple of books right behind Leviticus and Numbers. Chapter 11, verse 4. This is the attitude. We're going to see a little more detailed about this people, Israeli people. It's not just Israeli people. There are some mixed multitude. There are the kinds of Israeli plus Egyptians, Israeli plus somebody, some other tribes. They are known as a mixed multitude. This is what they said. Now, mixed multitude who were among them yielded to the intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us a meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and melon and leeks and onions and garlic. No wonder why their breath stunk. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna. You know, you can tell the way they said this manna. Before our eyes, now the manna is like a coriander seed, and its color was like a color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it on a millstone or beat it in a mortar, cooking in a pan, and made a cake of it, and I'm thinking about chocolate chip cookie. And its taste was like a taste of pastry prepared with oil. You know, Mama Moses published this cookbook called The 1,000 Way of Cooked Manna. Forwarded by Martha Stewart, of course. And how to make a manna bagel, manna donut, manna taco, manna spaghetti, and Moses' all-time favorite manna curry. For 40 days, God supplied the manna. They were tired of God's provision, especially this mixed multitude, the one who had intense craving and looking for the things in Egypt. Remember what I said at the beginning of the book of Exodus. This is typology. Egypt is the world. And the journey to the promised land is where we're going to be in heaven. This is a journey. This is a Christian journey. This is the life of a Christian living. If you are continuously looking for the what you had before you came to Christ, folks, you will never be happy in Christianity. If you are looking for that and that is your God, go back and serve the whatever that you had before. But if you are a Christian, serve God with all your heart and mind and soul. Don't be half in, half out. That's what this mixed multitude is. They are half in, half out in faith. They made a commitment to God, yet they're yielding themselves to the intense craving. They rather do the drinking and doing drugs and messing around with somebody there who is not their wives or spouse. And they rather watch some pathetic reality shows. I don't know how many of the reality shows we have on TV. They're all alike. They rather do that kind of thing instead of getting into the Word of God. They rather spend time on something fleshly, something that meet their fleshly desire than meeting their spiritual needs. You may say, don't you think it's a little bit hard? No, you haven't seen me being hard yet. Let's make a parallel line. Manna and the bread of life, Jesus Christ. This book of Exodus chapter 16 should be read with chapter 6 of book of John. Because I find several things. Manna represents the attribute of Jesus Christ. Number one, its small size, manna speaks of his humility. What, and you're wondering, what kind of humility are you talking about? Jesus came as a tiny human baby. The God who can hold the entire universe in the palm of his hand became a small, tiny human baby who had to cling on his life on the breast of the Virgin Mary. And he made himself the lowly servant, took the position as lowly servant, and washed the feet of his disciples. The manna was round and reminded us circle. Circle also reminded us eternality, forever. And God, Jesus is the eternal God himself. Don't ever think that Jesus was just a good teacher. Jesus cannot be a good teacher if he said that he is God and he claimed to be God, he is Messiah. And if he was not, then that means he lied. So he had to be either God or flat-out liar, con artist. There's nothing in between. Thirdly, it was white, which reminds us the purity and sinlessness. He is the Holy Son of God. Manna was satisfying and giving nourishment to the spiritual nourishment to the people. Folks, Jesus is satisfying. You don't need to look for anything other than Jesus Christ. He will give you peace, he will give you love, and he will give you hope. Also, manna shows that how Jesus came and why Jesus came. Number one, manna did not come from the wilderness plant, they didn't bring it out from the Egypt. It came from heaven. Jesus came from heaven as a gift of Father to the mankind. It came at night, so the people had to gather up in the morning. Jesus was born at night in the humble stable. They didn't have a room for him, right? But yet he came to us. So that he can be the light of the dark world. Manna fell in the wilderness. To the unsaved people, this world is paradise. For us, the born-again Christian, we are having a pilgrim journey to heaven. This world is a wilderness for a short time. But we have that unquenching hope in Christ Jesus. Once we have the last heartbeat from our heart, we'll stand in the presence of God in heaven. It fell right where they were. They didn't have to go across the valley. They didn't have to cross the canyon or to cross the river to go get this manna. It came to where they were. So just like Jesus, Jesus came to in the midst of the unsaved people so he can be accessible to all the people around him. Thirdly, manna shows us what we must do. All right, so far we saw the manna connect with the attribute of Jesus Christ. We also connected with why Jesus came and how he came. Now, let's see what we must do. We must feel the need. We have to have a spiritual hunger to follow Jesus. Within us, there's nothing can satisfy us except Jesus Christ. Much of unrest and the sin of the world today is a result of unsatisfied spiritual hunger. People are living on a substitute and rejecting the nourishment of God comes from Jesus Christ. We must stoop to get the manna. It's not landed on the treetop. It's not landed on the shelf. It landed on the ground. So they have to stoop. They have to humble. Folks, if you come to God with a haughty attitude, God will not accept you. If you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need you, you humble yourself, God has all arms to receive you. Another thing, very important thing is, we must take for ourselves. We must take for ourselves. The hungry Jew will not fed by the looking at manna or looking at other people eating or just looking at the manna on the wilderness. They have to go get it for themselves. They have to feed themselves. You know what you just said? He didn't say, admire me, you'll become a Christian. Jesus said, accept me into your heart, then you will be saved. God is not asking us to admire him, but God is asking us to receive me as your Savior. We must do it early. You know, some people say, well, I do my daily devotion late at night. Well, let me put it this way. For my own situation, if I try to do it late at night near the bedtime, I'm already in coma. I cannot think straight because I'm so tired. I have to do it first thing in the morning. Besides, I'd rather give the first portion of my day to God. And the rest of them will fit in because God is the one who is arranging it. Folks, give him your time first thing. If you can. I know some of you guys are night owl. And you are just, especially the musicians, like Mark Alvarez and his friend Paul Amkus, they'll stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning like nothing. At 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm dead. As I grow older, I'm a more morning person than night person. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Set a time aside. If you have a time to watch dumb TV show for 15 minutes, if you have a time to read the newspaper for 15 minutes, certainly you have a time to spend 15 minutes of your day. There's 1,440 minutes in a day, right? Can you slice 15 to 20 minutes? Certainly you can. Next, we must continue to feed on Him. As the Israeli people continue to eat this manna, we must continue to feed on Him. Some of you guys never touch Bible, and you're thinking, aren't you done with the pounding us? No, I'm not done yet, so stay at it. Some of you guys don't touch Bible until you come to Sunday morning service. And you expect the pastor to bring this food to you and spoon feed you. How are you going to grow in the Lord if that's the only thing you do? You need your own personal communion, personal communication, personal devotion every day. Do you think enough of Christ to start your day with a daily devotion and prayer? All right, different story. Somebody who is really smart calculated this omer of manna, which is about 6 pints. For the 2 million people, how much would that be? I don't know how accurate this is because I don't know how much this each car of the railroad car can haul, a lot, I heard. For a freight train with the 60 cars each, 240 cars a day. 240 cars a day for 2 million people. That's a lot. How would you like to be a quartermaster of that, supplying that thing? I don't. Let's go to verse 32. Then Moses said, this is the things of which the Lord has commanded. Fill an armor with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Then Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And some of you are thinking, aren't they going to be stink? No, probably not, because God has his hands on it. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer was 1/10 of ephah. That helps a lot, right? Yeah. Pot of manna is one of the articles in the Ark of Covenant. There are three articles in the Ark of Covenant. Number one, pot of manna. And I'm sorry, Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod was a dead branch. Cut it up from the tree. And when he stuck it in the ground, it budded. It budded a flower. That represented the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Second, another article is pot of manna, as we just read. The spiritual food, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, bread of life. And also, it speaks to us as the word of God. Third item is Ten Commandments, the law. Telling us that we can never fulfill God's demand. But guess who fulfilled that demand? Jesus Christ. So every one of the articles in the Ark of Covenant that we are going to learn at the end of this study. By the way, we just had a preview of Exodus. Now it gets thicker and better and deeper. I don't know, preachers get excited about this kind of thing, but you should get excited too. Let's make application. Number one, let's not be so quick to gripe about what we don't have. Rather, let's be grateful for what we have from the Lord. Can we do that? Instead of griping and moaning and complaining, let's be grateful for what we have. As somebody said, the least of American is richer than a lot of people around the world. Second, let's remember that any time we murmur concerning our situation in life, we are in essence murmuring against God. That means complaining against God, because we have committed our life to God. When we complain against God, what happened? We are telling God, you are not good enough for me. God doesn't take that thing very well. I wouldn't either. Third application, let's feed our spirit daily with the Word of God, that is from your Bible, and communication with Him in prayer. Some of you may say, I don't know how to do daily devotion. Any of you guys have our daily bread handy? Very good. We have this on the table. If you don't have a daily devotional book, it's free. We don't charge you anything. Grab one at the information table as you leave. You need to do this every day. And don't tell me, God never speaks to me. The Bible on your lap is a voice of God. You read. Guess what happened? Wow, you get to hear from God. Duh, right? It's simple. Let's stand up and pray.